Matty Rose, who joins us. Mr. Rose, how are you, my friend?
Super. How's Winsport?
Winsport is great. How's McMahon going to be on Sunday afternoon?
Ooh, probably not so great. It was tough being there today, and it was warm, like didn't have to wear gloves or anything, and knowing in the back of my mind the entire time that in the course of 48 hours, the temperature is probably going to flip like 20 degrees in the wrong direction. So, yeah, looking forward to being in the press box for that one.
Yeah, that's my favorite part of CFL playoff football in the media is being in the press box. What a bunch of jerks. What do we know about Aaron Rodgers and Cordero Law? What do we know about updates on their statuses for the biggest game of the year?
Well, Dave said today, neither have practiced this week, first off. But if they're healthy Sunday, that they're going to play. You know, it's do or die for this team right now, playing in the West semifinal here on Sunday. Obviously, they want those two guys, but these are a couple of veterans who have played a lot this year and a lot of meaningful snaps this year, too. Aaron Rodgers hasn't only been really solid receiving. You know, he hit 1,000 yards again, 1,080 receiving, 10 touchdowns, but Dave would always talk about how good he was blocking. They used him in the slot as a blocker a lot to crack down on defensive linemen, and that takes a toll on you. And then on the other side of that, Cordero Law, he's a veteran guy as well who in this year played in 16 games, had 41 tackles, and had 10 sacks for the second time in his career. So that's another guy who's older but had a lot of good work done this year for the Stampeders. So obviously you'd like to get them in. But Dave was also kind of pumping the brakes on both of them. We'll kind of have to wait until Sunday to see if either of those guys are available to go.
Okay, and we also have to wait on the status of Kamar Jordan at receiver. Boy, oh boy, if he were to return for the first game of the playoffs, what a weapon that would be. We don't know, but what could Kamar bring to this conversation?
He can bring a lot to this conversation. So we were talking to him just a little bit today, and you guys have the clip from him. There's no shortage of confidence with Kamar Jordan if he ends up playing in this game on Sunday.
It's football. It's a big game for sure, but I've played in big games. I think my mindset going into it is like, at the end of the day, when you break everything down, all the fans, all the TSN, all the cover stuff like that, it's football. It's me versus you. Who gonna win? And that's the way I look at it. That's the way I look at any game when I'm on the field. And I got confidence that I could win against any DB here. And that's just the way I feel. So when I'm out there, I'm going to feel the same way. New knee, bad knee, whatever the case may be.
So, yeah, no shortage of confidence. He's been practicing this week. He's ready to go. If they can't play Aaron Rodgers, then he's maybe an option there because that's the position that he was kind of at for this week. But even he went on to say that he was surprised that he is kind of at this point health-wise. Three ligaments torn in his knee last year when he went down with injury. He also dislocated his knee in the same instance. He had to use some of his hamstring to actually repair that injury. Head coach Dickinson did kind of pump the brakes on Kamar too. He said he doesn't want him to be disappointed if he doesn't end up playing in this game, but praised him for making himself available. He has been medically cleared to play. This is a guy who had 944 yards receiving in just 10 games last year and looked like the best receiver in the league before that devastating injury. So obviously, if you can get him back, that's huge because he's also a guy that a lot of the younger players and even the veterans in that room, especially the receivers, praise as one of the leaders. He's been that even this year, although he hasn't played a snap all season long.
Yeah, and look, there was conversation last year about this guy being the best receiver in the Canadian Football League. So if you could get a talent like that back for the West Division semifinal and hopefully for a couple more games after that, how big would that be? Yeah. Matty Rose is with us.
How it goes with the champs, right? Hey,
what's that?
We have a position where we need to be filled. We'll just find someone right when they have a big game coming up. It's pretty impressive how they end up finding these guys and getting them ready.
All the lucky time, they seem to find a way to do that. There's no doubt about it. Matty Rose is with us. He's our Stampeders insider. West Division semifinal is Sunday. Stamps and Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Matty, who could be the X factor on both sides of the football come Sunday?
Well, that's kind of what you look for in the playoffs, right? Every team needs a guy who's going to kind of maybe shine in the spotlight when it shines the brightest. And for the Stampeders, the guy that I'm looking at on defense is Dexter McCoyle. He's a guy who just a few weeks of being with this team has already become one of the more vocal guys when you kind of see him on the field. He's not looking like he's going to be one of the starters, but he's the type of guy who will come in rotations with different sets depending on what the Winnipeg Blue Bombers are putting out on the field most likely. So he's the guy that last game he had the interception to ice the game against the BC Lions. Jamar Wall had a ton of praise for him after the game. He said all game long McCoyle was making plays. It wasn't just the interception. Obviously, that one's big for him, but he's got a really long frame, like an incredible wingspan that's really tough to kind of get around if you're the opposing quarterback. And on top of that, he's an incredible athlete. So that's the guy I'm looking at on defense. I think he could be a factor. And this isn't a guy who's coming in under the radar either. He won the most outstanding rookie in his first year in the CFL. He won a Grey Cup with J.C. Sheridan, the Eskimos, his second year in the CFL, and then went down to the NFL for a little while, kind of like what we were just talking about with the Stamps being able to find guys. So I got to go to Dexter McCoyle on the defense. The offense is tougher because it kind of depends on who ends up playing. Because Kamar Jordan comes in, I think he could be an X-factor seeing as he hasn't played. You don't really know, you know, what expectation you should have for him. Dave has tempered expectations. KJ has tempered expectations all season long. So it kind of depends there. I think that maybe the running backs, Dave said they're expecting to have all three of them on the roster tomorrow, that being Don Jackson, Terry Williams, and Ante Milanovic-Leader. So if sometimes you have to go to this run game when the weather doesn't really prove to be ideal, and it hasn't been the shining star for the Stampeders. They also haven't rushed the ball a whole time, so that's been a factor in the numbers not being there. But I think those guys could maybe be a little X-factor for the Stamps, especially this weekend in a cold game against Winnipeg at home.
Now, this will be the fourth time the Stampeders and Bombers meet this season. It will be the third time in 4 weeks they play one another. And special teams has been a big factor in the season series. How much of a factor could it be on Sunday?
Well, you go back to the cold weather, and that's you make one mistake on special teams, and that's 7 points, and that can change the game. And for the Stampeders, they saw that happen in their first meeting with the Blue Bombers when they had 2 touchdowns from Janorian Grant on punt returns. It was Grant's first CFL game, and he's proven to be one of the best returners in the league this year. He's got excellent numbers, as does Lucky Whitehead. Both of them can hurt you in the return game for the Stamps. Terry Williams, another outstanding returner in this league. So the Stamps will look to maybe get an edge in that type of aspect. But throughout these 3 games they've played this year, they've all been decided by 4 or less points. They've had 9 lead changes in these 3 games. So it's going to be one of the games that kind of comes down to a couple things here and there. And you look at special teams as one of those aspects that can really help you. And it's not just the touchdown. You know, it's breaking off a big play and then setting you up. It was the last game that a missed field goal by Rene Paradis got returned 61 yards by Janorian Grant and set the Bombers up for just a really short drive, and they were able to get into the end zone and ultimately win that game by just a few points. So, special teams is going to be definitely something that I think we'll have to keep an eye on in this game. And you never know with the conditions like this, if it's snowing and if it's cold, you could, you know, those plays are already quite chaotic, and then you throw in inclement weather, we'll have to see how it goes.
Yeah. Tell us about Derek Wiggin and a nice little honor that he received.
Yeah, so the CFL today announced the Jake Goddard, the nominees from each team for the award, which is presented to the CFL player who best demonstrates the attributes of Canada's veterans. So strength, perseverance, courage, comradeship, contributions to Canadian societies. And the Stampeders nominee this year is Derek Wiggin. He's one of those interior defensive linemen, so you don't hear about him a lot. 35 tackles this year, which is a career high. 4 sacks, which is a career high. And pretty good numbers for a guy on the interior. He's from out in Ontario, but he's played out in Calgary for his entire 5 seasons. And the guys love him in the locker room. He's not one of the guys you'll hear the most about, but he's the type of guy who kind of shows these qualities. And, Dave Dickinson had nothing but good things to say about him when he spoke to us earlier today.
You know, we always think of ourselves as going to war and this and that. And we all love the military and what they give our countries. And so for Wiggo basically to step in, guys, you don't even know he's there. But guess what? Do we really know who the soldiers are on the front line? Probably not. They're the ones doing all the tough work. And he's basically been our rock in there with all our guys hurt and that leadership value he had. Plus, if you ever meet Wiggo, he gives everything he's got, not only to our team, but to his community and here as well. So I thought it was very justified nomination. And, you know, hopefully he can go a little farther and win something league-wide. But it's not about winning it as much as, you know, us recognizing that Wiggo's a big part of who we are and what we represent.
And like Dave said, he's been the rock for that defensive line all season long. You look at how they kind of planned it out earlier on in the year. The ideal front four probably would have been Cordero Law and Falera Nerimelade on either end. And then maybe a Junior Turner or Mike Rose, who's been there all season long, and a Wigan on the inside. Wigan has started every single game for the Stampeders this year. He's been really solid in helping the Stamps to have one of the stouter run defenses. And he'll be a big factor in this one as they face Andrew Harris.
And I think we're burying the lead of his nickname being Wiggle. That also needs
Wiggo.
To be underlined.
Wiggo.
Oh, it was Wiggo. I thought it was Wiggle. I liked Wiggle's no. Just Wiggle would be amazing, though.
I think Wiggle's we're good to go bad. With Wiggle, though, for now on.
I think from now on it's Wiggle. I've decided that's the change that we're making.
Okay.
That would be outstanding.
So, Matt, you just go and tell him that.
Yeah,
sure.
Please tell him that tomorrow at walkthrough, Matty. That would be big for us.
Yeah, I'll write him a little note.
Finish us off with a little bit about Raheem Wilson, my man.
Yeah, Raheem's had a great year. He was one of the guys who a lot of talk about him maybe being the Stampeders nominee for Rookie of the Year. Him and Nate Holly both had really good seasons, but, you know, being a guy on the outside in that secondary, maybe a little bit tougher. And Nate Hawley's had a great year, not only with the defense, but on special teams as well. He was the nominee for Special Teamer of the Year for the Stampeders, as well as the Rookie of the Year. But Raheem's had a really good season in that secondary. And I wanted to talk to him because he's new with the Stampeders. It's his first year here in Calgary. He was at the rookie camp the year before, but it was his first year joining the team up here in Calgary. And before that, he had played in the German League overseas. And he had won back-to-back championships there. So I wanted to see what he was thinking about as far as that championship pedigree, but also just getting his thoughts on facing the Bombers once again. And, looking ahead to this West semifinal.
Just finished up your final practice before the Western semifinal. How does it feel now that's done? You just got the walkthrough to do. How do you feel as far as the preparation has gone this week ahead of this matchup?
I think we've done a great job, you know, just staying focused. We know, you know, what's at stake right now, and we've approached it just like we have been, you know, this past couple months. You know, we knew that we had to prepare for this moment, and I feel like going into it, we're pretty ready to execute.
Now, you're playing the Bombers for the third time in 4 weeks, something that's been talked about a lot as maybe not a positive, but is it a positive in the sense that you saw Caleros, Streveler in one game, and then you saw Caleros in the next game as well? You've seen what they can throw at you with both the guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Like, playing a team three times may get, you know, a bit repetitive, obviously, but, you know, at this point, it's man on man, you know, winning your one-on-one matchup, you know, me versus you, who's going to win, because pretty much know, you know, what each other wants to do, at least, you know. It'll probably be a little something new here and there from both offenses and defenses, but at the same time, you know, the core has already been put out there.
Has the intensity ramped up recently? Because Dave said, I think it was earlier this week, that you guys feel like you've been playing playoff football for 4 or 5 weeks now. Has the switch flipped now that you're in this week into the postseason, or has it already flipped?
Yeah, I think it's already flipped. We just want to make sure that we leave it all out there, you know, end with the Grey Cup on this field with us holding it up. So, you know, we've been preparing for this moment the past couple months, and, you know, we expect, you know, to go out there and get a win.
Football in this playoff, the nature of it, it's finite. It's one and done. In that sense, is it kind of surprising that maybe there hasn't been that even more jump yet, or is it just you're already there?
Yeah, we understand that, you know, it's win or go home. But at the same time, I don't think, you know, nerves have kicked in or intensity has kicked in because, like you said, we've wanted that first round bye and first in the West for the past month, you know, and beyond. So we picked it up then when we knew that, you know, what was at stake. At this point now, it's just, all right, well, you know, let's win every game here on out.
Now for yourself, we were just talking about it off air, a couple of championships in the German League before you came over here, and now you're preparing for another playoff run. Does it help to have that championship experience with another league but coming into the playoffs here?
Yeah, I think experience, you know, is a big thing. I mean, obviously, if you watch, you know, our team from the beginning of the season to now, we look like a completely different team, you know. We had a lot of young guys coming in and learning new positions, so, you know, experience definitely does play a factor into, you know, into this point of the season.
And finally, just a thought, Nate Holly getting the Rookie of the Year nominee. I know that was something you were battling there for, but you got to be positive. It's got to be positive to see a teammate get the Western nomination.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I've known Nate, you know, personally for a little over a year now. So not only is he my teammate, he's my roommate.
Yeah.
You know, so to be in a, you know, the same apartment with the Rookie of the Year, you know, it's pretty exciting. You know, I'm happy for him. Of course, I'd like to be in the conversation as well, but if there's anybody else on this team that I feel deserves it, it's Nate Holly.
He was telling us about his goal list. Have you seen the goal list that he has?
Oh, of course I have. Yeah. He keeps it up, and, you know, it's in a place where he, you know, he gets to see it every day.
Yo, what a beauty. Yeah, he lives with Nate Holly, who's going to be the Stamps Rookie of the Year nominee, and a couple guys who I think Stamps fans definitely got to know throughout the course of this regular season, and guys who could be a big factor in the postseason in here, and maybe with the Stamps team for years to come.
Matty, outstanding stuff, my man. Before we let you go on the Stamps report, what's your prediction for Sunday afternoon?
I don't know about this weather. It's making me very tepid to predict what's going to happen, but I think that whichever team can maybe get a little bit more traction on the ground will end up coming away with the victory in this one. The Stampeders have done a really good job of containing Andrew Harris up until this point, and Bo Levi Mitchell is playing some outstanding football. You get Kamar Jordan back, gives you a little bit of boost as far as maybe morale or confidence. Not that this team needs it, but it would still be one. I think that we're in for a close one, but I got to take the Stamps at home.
I also have the Stamps. Even Klein, who thinks the Bombers are the best team in the last 240 years in the CFL, thinks that the Stamps are going to win. So, I think we're all on board. I think it would be a bit of a surprise knowing the situation if Calgary didn't get the job done at home, but let's see how it all plays out. Matty, we'll catch up with you again on Tuesday, regardless of the result. Great stuff, my man. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Have just a fantastic day.
That's our most outstanding player candidate right there.